The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, about an hour ago, we were heading into the 4 o'clock hour. I played this song that was shared by a friend of mine today. It's a really good song, and I was asking him, you know, a little bit more about the artist, and then we determined, unbeknownst to him and I, that it was an AI singer. So that's one of the topics we'll talk about with George Rosenthal. Tech Talk Tuesday is coming up at the bottom of the hour, and we always talk about a lot of fun stuff with him, and he has a big list. We never get to the entire list of what he wants to talk about. Here's one, though. MIT students create electrodes that move your muscles using AI to do things like play piano, drawing, and mixing drinks. Are you kidding me? See, like, if I had this available when I was 14 years old and I bought that Fender Mustang, I could have been a rock star beyond all rock stars because I could have just programmed my hands to play the guitar in a certain way.
I'm sure that's very natural sounding.
But some of this stuff is just crazy,
no,
isn't it?
No, it is. It's completely nuts.
Right, so that's going to be a segment that either, you know, dazzles you or scares the living daylights out of you. But this is kind of fun, and we'll talk about this with George, too. I'm going over to ThrottleNet tomorrow because you know this, Sue. Every week we do this. He talks about AI. He's like, Mark, you need to do this. And my wife uses ChatGPT, and I think she uses some of the others for business, you know, in sharpening up some documents
or
whatever.
Yeah.
And George has made the offer, so I'm going to take him up on the offer. I think I'm heading over at like 8:30, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning
That's
for a couple
good.
Hours. And I'm going to, so I will come back a different AI person tomorrow. Okay. And I'll either be more scared or maybe a little bit more open-minded to the options that it will afford me. Because again, one of the things that we always talk about with this, and George makes it a point, some of this stuff is really positive in the ways that it can help
Very
you.
Very helpful.
It's just the other parts that are kind of scary that are taking over our lives. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Plus, I'll have audio cut of the day. We are visited this hour by my daughter for the second time in three shows because we're going to the baseball game tonight. And her friend, our neighbor, Amanda Mertens, is here as well. Amanda works at the Rockwood Summit radio station. You might remember they came in for a fish fry.
Yes, I do remember
that. So she's looking at the equipment that we have in here. And I told her, man, the studio looks a lot better than it did 3 weeks ago because we just got an upgrade, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One of my favorite guests all the time, Curtis Houck is on the phone patiently listening to me rant and rave here. He is managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. Hello, Curtis. How are you this afternoon?
Hello. Good.
I love this Scott Pelley is a whining baby story more than anything else right now, because the storyline has emerged that he kind of made some trouble at a staff meeting last week where Barry Weiss introduced the new executive producer of 60 Minutes, didn't he?
Did you know that saying I am Spartacus will not end well for you, you know?
He thinks it will, though.
He thinks it will. I mean, I did not know that, you know, that bad-mouthing your bosses in the middle of a team meeting is the way to go. Like, if you don't get what you want, you just stand up and accuse them of having no qualifications, among other things. And, yeah, I guess they'll just quit or something. That's kind of where we are. Scott Pelley is such an ignorant guy. I've heard from a lot of people inside CBS, and they are not happy with him and the people there, giving them a bad eye.
Yeah, well, he's amongst the worst over there. And, you know, what I would love to say, I'd love to have a moment with Scott Pelley legit and have a conversation, because one of the things, as you know, that Barry asked in the fall was, why do you think the American people think that, you know, you're biased, that we're biased? And there was stunned silence. They were so non-aware. Yep. They lacked self-awareness so much that they really didn't even know why people might not trust the elites at 60 Minutes. So I wrote an email, and I don't know if it'll ever get to him, but we had an instance, and I think I've spoken to you about this before, with Bill Whitaker, who is a correspondent for 60 Minutes. So I sent Bill.
Ferguson.
Yeah, well, no, but this was about Kim Gardner, our prosecutor, right? They probably did some crap about Ferguson, too, I guarantee you. But more recently, Kim Gardner, terrible circuit attorney, she was doing things that was really kind of ensuring that criminals could walk the streets. It was like what's her name from, or the dude in L.A., it was like that on steroids here in St. Louis. So anyway, Bill Whitaker and the guy named Jeff Begay, as you remember him, he did the same thing for CBS News. They come to town, they paint St. Louis as a racist city, they don't talk to any Democrats. I begged Jeff Begay. I said, Jeff, don't talk to me. I'm a conservative talk show host. I can put you in front of Democrats, even black Democrats, that will criticize Kim Gardner. So I wrote this to Bill Whitaker this morning, and I don't know if it'll get to him, but I said, the staff seems very confused about allegations of bias, but guess what, Bill? I can prove your bias. You came to St. Louis to do a BS piece on Kim Gardner painting my entire city as racist. What you did was journalistic malpractice. And if you still don't realize why, I'd suggest using Google or AI. She got booted, and I guess it was all because of racism, unquote, because actually it was because she sucked at her job. She was terrible, and Democrats knew that. But you wouldn't talk to anyone that strayed from your BS narrative. So that, Bill Whitaker, is why the country doesn't trust you anymore. It's your fault. It's not Barry Weiss's fault. Scott Pelley's arrogance made me spit Diet Coke out of my nose. I laughed so hard. I hope she fires Scott, you, and any other propagandists. I'd love to talk to you about this, Bill, on my show. I can put you in touch with my producer. What do you say? You think I'll get an offer from Mr. Whitaker back saying, yeah, let's chat? But the arrogance is unbelievable on the part of these CBS reporters and producers.
Yeah, sorry, Mark, I don't think so. unfortunately. I mean, the thing is, they think this makes them look good.
I know.
Oliver Darcy wrote two newsletters yesterday talking about how great this was, and it was about time someone stood up, and I just am like, again, I go back to, in any other profession, guys, would this work?
No.
The answer is no. No. Whatsoever. And they can't answer Barry's question. Why do people not trust us? Well, it's someone else's fault. It's Donald Trump's fault. We all have people in our lives who do this, guys.
Yeah.
Who say, oh, it's someone else's fault. And this is the fundamental flaw of these people. They are the most arrogant profession in America, more so than national politicians. They say that they don't want to be the story. They love being the story, guys. They love being the center of attention.
There's no doubt about that. Absolutely. And, you know, they love, and this is one of the reasons they're offended. I think it was the Washington Free Beacon who tweeted this, because some people say that it's offensive that they hired Barry because, unlike the network's existing staffers who have, quote, dedicated their entire careers to understanding and developing the skills that are needed, she has, quote, zero experience in television And then they kind of had this in parentheses. Well, CBS is reporting CBS News is losing $50 million a year. So whatever they're doing is not working, right? So then she comes in and she's made some modest changes. And by the way, I don't even think they're going to change 60 Minutes that much. She got rid of Sharon Alfonsi and a couple of the others. Curtis, what I've said in the last few weeks, and I don't know if this is because of Barry or not, but when 60 Minutes tackles a story that is apolitical, and they've done that a few times recently, more feature stories, right? I think they've been really good. I think the reporting's been excellent. But the bias seeps through on all these political stories, and that's what I think Barry is trying to get around. Not to just do bias in the other direction, but to say, hey, let's look at this from different perspectives and not go in with the narrative already set like Bill Whitaker did here in St. Louis.
Remember, that's all she wanted from Sharon Alfonsi. Could you get an on-the-record quote from the administration? That was it.
Yeah, and she didn't like that at all, right? Yeah.
No. And yada, 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 she sends this long email saying she's subject to political pressure, guys, political pressures, that this is censorship. Cecilia Vega is the other one, guys,
right.
That you have to take a name of. She was at ABC News for a long time, came over to CBS. She was, she had mentioned DEI, that she was the first Latina correspondent, that they fired the first Latina correspondent. And to that, I honestly say, I don't care. And that's kind of part of the issue here, that the bullet train story that they did a few weeks ago, phenomenal, about California, tens of billions of dollars going nowhere.
And see, there you go.
More of that.
That's an example.
It's good governance, basic accountability journalism.
Well, and they could have done that years ago. I mean, that whole thing's been going on for decades. Mark Halperin surprised me because Mark Halperin, who used to be, he was with ABC for a long time, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Went out.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing more independent journalism. He's pretty buttoned up on his politics. But here's his quote. 60 Minutes has done more to discredit the media as liberal than any other entity of the country. That's pretty harsh there from Mark Halperin, and he knows the business. He says Barry Weiss may be the best hope for CBS to restore its credibility. And let's also point out that this is not a new era, 2026 story. I can take you back to 1998 when Bernard Goldberg wrote the book Bias about Dan Rather and all the bias that existed in the 80s and the 90s. So it's not like it's new. They should be aware of where their credibility has been falling for literally decades.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Oh, and that book is still worth reading, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners, if you've not read that, it is so worth it. It kind of talks about the way the media frame the economy, the way the media frame things like homelessness, which actually is really interesting today, considering all that's going on in New York City and Los Angeles and so on and so forth. And you look back to the pillow talks that Steve Cross had with Barack Obama. You also may recall 1992 with the Clintons. Steve Croft talked to them when the Jennifer Flowers news hit, and he framed it all as just tabloid gossip. Tabloid gossip was what he used to describe what was going on with that. And that all lays the predicate for them to say there is no there. The Clintons are just being hounded by a bunch of perverts or conspiracy theorists. And, you know, and you move on to all kinds of other things. Sharon Alfonsi had a story. One of her last stories was celebrating social censorship in Germany.
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was an outrageous story. It really was. And it was actually, yeah. I talked about this earlier, because they actually have people that are proud of themselves for knocking at the door, just like the, you know, Gestapo or the Stasi, more appropriately, in East Germany. And if there's a social media post that is offensive or deemed offensive by German officials, they're arresting people and prosecuting them. And that story that she did from a couple of months ago made it look like this is the greatest thing ever. People deserve justice for whatever, recognizing or failing to recognize we have freedom of speech in this country, at least, apparently not in Germany. So she's one of the worst. I'm not sorry to see her go by. You know, one of the things that came out of some of the reporting from last week, and for people who aren't up to speed on all this, what happened was, is after there were cutbacks and some firings from Sharon Alfonsi and others, Cecilia Vega at 60 Minutes, they had a staff meeting. They introduced the new executive producer who doesn't have a lot of experience in television, and Scott Pelley stood up and said, you're murdering 60 Minutes. You're going to destroy 60 Minutes. He's apparently the guy who feels like he has the gravitas to do that, right? So that's a little bit of the background here. But when it comes to actual journalistic malpractice and bias, they're so unaware or unself-aware of what they do in these stories. It's rather shocking, even in this era, Curtis.
Well, I think some of them do know. They just don't care.
That's probably true.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
A lot of them don't. I mean, I think we are at a point with Catherine Marr at NPR. You look at somebody like her. You look at, you know, a lot of people at the New York Times. It's a perpetual Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Am I out of touch? No, it is the children who are wrong. That is the situation that we're ecosystem that we're living in. If you go over to Blue Sky, that's what they're saying. You know, that's much more representative of the base. And the other thing too is they talk about how Republicans always have to be far right because they're scared of their base. Liberal journalists are scared of their liberal base doing basic accountability journalism. CBS covering this hospice story is seen as some sort of unforgivable sin,
yeah,
when it's really just simply saying the government's wasting your money. Yes, it's happening in a blue state, but it could happen anywhere.
It was actually good reporting, and why something like that is partisan is just beyond me. But it became, to your point, it became partisan, so I don't really understand that. Look, I'm all for Barry's changes, and I'll be very curious to see, you know, moving forward what happens. I think that you and I and people that highlight this stuff on a regular basis are just looking for just a little bit of fairness in some of this reporting. I don't expect it to change that much, but I mean, good Lord, the way, there's just no doubt, and you offered Steve Croft as an interesting example. I kind of forgot about him, but one of the things that they said in the reporting in the aftermath of all this is there are some people that feel like what 60 Minutes lacks, and this is sort of a duh, is like that intensity of a Mike Wallace moment. Remember when Mike Wallace used to really grill people? And he would, you know, I think Mike certainly leaned left, but he would do it on both sides, and he would put people in positions where they had to answer the questions. I, with you, have brought up, I think, a better example, and that's Tim Russert on Meet the Press, because Tim pushed everyone, you know, and he asked questions, and you wouldn't know that he worked for a Democrat in Daniel Patrick Moynihan. We don't have people like that. We don't have enough people like that, unfortunately.
Well, I'll just say one example here is CBS had Jonah Kaplan report on the fact that a lot of the folks who were injured in those Iranian drone attacks are concerned about their protection. They're saying, yeah, we didn't really have any sort of air defenses. We really weren't in super hardened facilities over in Kuwait and elsewhere. That's not positive toward the administration, you know? Like, the administration, they're saying the administration left these people to basically die over in Iran or put them in a precarious position. That's not positive toward the administration, and he's a new hire by Barry Weiss. So to simply say that, oh, this is just MAGA TV, this is Newsmax.
It's ridiculous.
This is Fox News.
Yeah.
Just watch the actual newscast. Brian Stelter finally said that in his newsletter today, and I was glad he said that, that maybe we all need to, like, watch more CBS News to actually see what their newscasts are about instead of focusing on, ooh, Tony DeCoppel, that, remember that second day when he did a Marco Rubio skit thing about all the memes that he's in? Or he did a news brief, not a full story, on the anniversary of January 6th from like 6 months ago. How about we actually look at the hearing now? And also, they still employ Margaret Brennan.
Well, that should, yeah, you had me at they still employ Margaret Brennan. But, you know, I saw those comments by Stelter earlier, and I thought it was fake. I'm like, wait a second, this guy's actually making sense on this issue. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was interesting that he even dared to say it. And I mean, my buddy Isaac Shore over at Mediaite wrote a column about this yesterday that, you know, in even in some of these Barry hit pieces where they spend like 20,000 words talking about how terrible she is, they kind of bury like 14,000 words in that, like, oh yeah, she's like complained to people about this and that policy of the Trump administration, and she says that this or that thing doesn't make sense. But never mind that, of course, because we have established this narrative that she's somehow MAGA, and therefore, you know, we have to sully this guy. Yeah. And Bilton, by the way, I should mention, this guy is making documentaries at Netflix.
The new guy, the new EP, right?
Those documentaries at Netflix, right? And he used to write the New York Times as well, writing about tech issues. I mean, you just look up the guy on Google Images. Let me tell you, he does not look like a MAGA.
He's not. That's because he's not
by any stretch.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. By the way, I'm going to talk about this here in a couple of minutes and play some audio. But how about the we can use this? Like, what would happen if Jill Biden went on 60 Minutes? And I don't know, maybe there's plans for that, but do you think that they would ask her? I was actually impressed. Craig Melvin from NBC actually lightheartedly got tough on her yesterday, but I'll be very curious to see if anyone actually, you know, roughs her up in a way that she should be based on the BS that she's spinning now with this book.
Yeah, by today's show standards, I thought Craig Melvin did a good job. Unfortunately, the track record at CBS with Joe Biden is not great, considering Scott Pelley interviewed him a few times, the aforementioned Scott Pelley, and he reminded folks that, you know, he has a stutter, so he really, when he stutters, that means he's working really hard on something.
Exactly.
And he even said to him when they walked to the floor of the Detroit Auto Show that, how do you do it, Mr. President? You know, like, basically, do you get exhausted? Or I forget how it went down, but that was basically the gist of it. And when a journalist does that to a politician, how do you do it? How do you not get tired? You know, you can just chuck that out the window in terms of it being a tough interview, unless you're being somehow facetious.
Yeah, well, that's because that's how he does his job for sure. Curtis Salk, Newsbusters, always great to have you on. Have a great week.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
We'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.